another episode of Pretty Social Podcast.
We're so happy to have you guys back here with us today. Yes. And before we jump into this discussion, because it's going to be a little bit more of a serious discussion.
Yeah, a heavier topic.
Yeah, for sure. We just want you guys to make sure that you subscribe, like, comment, share. Yes. Everything's in the description.
Yes.
All right. So we're going to jump right on in today. So it's April. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
I know, right?
April
crazy
2024 is ridiculous.
Where is this year going?
But April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Mm-hmm. So we didn't want to let this go by without talking about it. We both have our own personal stories of what we've gone through in our life, and we know that there are millions upon millions of other men and women who have gone through this, so we just want to shed a little light on the subject today.
Yeah, I think it's super important too to just acknowledge it, especially as people who have their own trauma. Mm-hmm. And we know so many people.
For sure.
You know, I feel like I know more people who have experienced, or I should say women.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Who've experienced it. I know men too, but who've experienced it and who have not.
Yes.
So I'm really glad that there's awareness for it.
Exactly. And I actually was doing statistics or reading statistics on this. And obviously, depending on where you're getting your sources from, it might vary a little bit. But the one that I read was from the CDC. So I think that's pretty valid. Mm-hmm. And it was saying something to the degree of over 50% of women have been sexually assaulted. And I want to say it was, and please, if I'm wrong, I apologize, but I wanted to say it was about 80% has either been sexually assaulted or sexually harassed in their lifetime. This is women only. Mm-hmm. And then men, and this could be slightly wrong, because I don't think we talk too much about men's sexual assaults and things like that, but it had mentioned like 1 in 4 men have said that they have experienced that as well. Mm. So that's a fairly high number.
Yeah,
you know, and I think that it could probably be even higher, but unfortunately we shed more light on women than we do men, I think, for various reasons of why. You know, men may not talk about sexual assault. So hopefully, you know, whether if you're a man or a woman, you listen to us today and mm-hmm. our stories and, you know, just what we have to say about it. Hopefully that will, you know, empower you to also talk to someone about what you've gone through.
Yeah. And that's why it's important to have an awareness month, mm-hmm. because that's how you get these things to stop. Yeah. That's how we lower these numbers. Like, these numbers are insane.
Insane.
1 in 4, that's, you know, crazy. 50%. That is terrifying to me. It's absolutely scary. And it just shows how common it is. Mm-hmm. It's showing how people continue to get away with it. It shows how it's truly a sickness.
It is.
You know what I mean? And it's like, how do we try to change it? But I think that the biggest thing is awareness.
Yeah.
I watched a video. I'm going to share this quick story today. And it was a woman. She worked in Florida Corrections.
Okay.
And she said she was never allowed to work around the male prisoners because she was a woman. She was young. She was attractive. And they was just like, no. She said they were, whenever she did get a glimpse, you know, of being around them, they were very volatile, very, you know, prisoners.
Yeah.
Yes. And she said that one day she got put on the, I forget what she called it, but it was like the child molester block.
Okay.
And she said she had to, they had to have their own section because they would get murdered if they did not.
Yeah.
And she was like, what a shame. And I'm like, right. Because
you, I internalized that too. I've been thinking that too, like, yeah. Maybe, but
I'm out there on the yard for a little bit.
Yeah.
But she said the scariest thing was with working with them for a nice period of time. She said they were some of the nicest, most polite, most respectful. Oh, Miss B, this, we can help you with that. What do you need? Just kind. And she just had to remind herself sometime that you're here because you hurt a child.
Yeah.
One way or another. And she said she would go home and somehow and look up some of their cases and be horrified at why they're in there. And it just, you know, the whole point of her bringing it up was there's been a big topic of kids having sleepovers and if it's okay to have sleepovers and stuff. And she was saying, like, these are not monsters.
Yeah.
You can't put something past someone because, oh, he's such a sweetheart. He's so kind. They have to put that face on.
Yeah.
If you're a creep, you're not going to come out and announce that you're a creep or act like a creep.
Right.
You know what I mean? You have to learn how to do that. So I thought that was, I reshared it because I thought that was a great way to bring awareness.
Yeah,
you know?
It is, for sure. Because we don't, a lot of times we think about what we would say, quote unquote, bad people. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we think about like the scariest, meanest, creepiest looking people. Mm-hmm. But the Bible even says that Satan masquerades himself as the angel of light. Like, yeah, literally, these people are doing everything they can to make, I mean, you do get those creepers that are like, whoa, you know something's not right, and you just can tell. But most of the time, you don't know. Yeah. Most of the time, they could just, they're living amongst us. They're, you know, unfortunately, in your families, and your friends, and your work, and your church, and, and that's unfortunate, and that's scary, but that's why you should always be on alert and look for the signs. Yeah. You talking about child molesters. The first time I was sexually assaulted, I was 14, and I don't know, I knew nothing about what, you know, at least experiencing of like what sexual things were. I had my first kiss at 14, but like that was all I knew about any type of intimacy in any type of physical way. So when I experienced it, the man was in his early, maybe mid-20s, but for sure in his early 20s. And when I think back at that, I think to myself, you are a grown man, and I am a 14-year-old girl. And he knew I was 14. And I just remember him constantly saying, like, you look so much older. Like, almost like he was trying to make it okay.
Yeah.
Like, it was almost like he was trying to make it okay by saying, I look so much older, but you knew.
You know how old I am. It don't matter how I look.
It doesn't matter. And that always, like, flabbergasted me, because I'm like, it was almost like he was internalizing this is wrong, but he didn't stop. Like, he didn't stop. And, you know, I think that no matter what, sexual assault in any form, at any age, is a terrible thing. But it's really, really hard when you're young, because you're still forming. Yeah. Like, your brain, everything, your emotions, you are still forming. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's hard. Like, for me, it was really hard for that to accept exactly what it was, because I was so confused. Mm-hmm. And when I was at someone's house when this had happened, and when I told the girl whose house I was staying at, what had happened, well, number one, she was under the influence, so she, I don't think, was in her right mind to even decipher what I was saying to her. But she was just like, no, that's not real, they didn't do that, like, basically saying I was like crazy. And I was terrified. I was terrified because after that had happened, because he got me by myself in the house, and everyone else, I have no idea where they were at, but we were still all at the house. And after he had assaulted me, he kept trying to tell me that he wanted me to come downstairs after everyone went to bed so he can finish. Like, he wanted to, like, basically rape me. He wanted to have sex. And I was so terrified, and it's just crazy when you think back, because I was 14, I'm 35 now, but it was like it was yesterday when you think back at it. And I remember going into the bathroom, getting ready for bed, and the upstairs where we were at, to walk to her room was kind of a long hallway, and it was really like pitch black dark because everyone was in bed. And I go out of the bathroom, and I'm walking down the hallway, and all of a sudden he comes behind me, and he puts his hand around my mouth, and I'm freaking out at this point, because I'm thinking, okay, it's done. Like, I'm not going to make it to the bedroom. But thankfully, I made it to the bedroom. I locked the door, and I remember, like, laying in the bed just crying and praying. Now, the girl I was with, she was passed out at this point. She was drinking, passed out. And I was just laying in the bed crying and praying, like, God, please don't let this man come in here. And I remember hearing the door, like, the knob jiggle. And I was, like, in my mind, I'm like, it's done. Like, it's over with. And I can say at this time, it was just God. Because he left. He just left. And gosh. I remember being so terrified, but also so confused. Because I'm like, I was told that this was, like, it was nothing. Like, what are you talking about? Like, this is crazy. He don't want you. You're 14. Like, he's grown. Like, so I'm like, am I crazy? Is this normal? Like, it's not. But it's so hard to understand that when you're young.
Yeah. Oh gosh, and that just makes me think about like why it's so difficult for people to come forward in the first place, because you get told things like that. Why would he want you? I don't know.
I don't know,
but he did. I wish he didn't. I wish he would say she's 14, I don't want her, but that wasn't the case. I felt like for me, for a very long time, I didn't talk to anybody about my assault because I would get the same type of response. Like, why would they do that? First of all, they don't have to do that. You know what I mean? It was two pretty popular guys I went to high school with. And I feel I'm almost like so confident, and it's never happened because I didn't tell anybody. But I'm just like super confident that I would literally probably get laughed at if I said that they assaulted me. Like, girl, they can get whoever they want. Like, why would they do that? And it's crazy because those two guys, they never tried to talk to me publicly. They never expressed interest in me. I think
your guards didn't, like, they weren't, it wasn't up or anything.
And I think that it was just weird to me how they never expressed interest in me, but they wanted to do that. You know what I mean? Like that, it, to me, what it made it seem like is they wouldn't talk to a girl like me. You know what I mean? Like they were popular. They dealing with a certain type of girl. They got a certain type of image, but I was good enough for that. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so therefore I think that also adds a layer to why people wouldn't believe that, you know, the type of women they usually date versus me, whatever the case may be. I don't know. But I couldn't even imagine telling anybody. I didn't tell a soul until I was married. And also it took me a long time to realize that's what it was, because I was intoxicated both times. The first time I was, it's so crazy because I literally went to this place to sober up, to be around people that I felt safe around, to be around guys who I've been around forever. Like, these was my homies. I'm not playing when I say these was my homies. These was my friends. We used to get together and drink. They would come over. I would go over there. And I went over there, but there was one guy who was typically not around us. He was typically not with that crew. At least not when I was there. He wasn't there all the time, but he was there that day. And he definitely took advantage of me. And he definitely joked about it after the fact. And, you know, it just took me a long time, but I'm like, no, you said no, because I have one thing about me. I don't forget things when I drink. It don't matter how drunk I am. I don't black out and I don't forget anything. I said no, like lots of times. I was still on my period. That was, I know I said no. I even remember saying, I'm wearing a tampon, like, and him removing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and telling me don't worry about it.
I think that's one of the issues too, is I think we have this thought of, if you don't scream, if you don't fight, like, did you really want
You picture rape as somebody snatching you up and tying you down, and it's not always like that.
It's mostly not like that. Like, you get those cases here and there where that happens, but it's usually in a situation where either you know the person or it's some sort of social
setting. You got some level of comfortability.
And that's one thing that we have to get away from, because, you know, some people are fed this idea that if you didn't fight, if you didn't, you know, whatever, scream and hit and kick, like it wasn't rape. And that's so wrong. And there's probably so many people out here thinking that, like, oh, no, it wasn't rape because I didn't. Because, you know, after I was 14 and that happened, I was raped at 16. And I didn't learn my, it was with around the same girl, the people that she hung out with. It was just a super toxic time, and if anything I could go back, I would take back hanging out with her, because it was just so much toxicity around this woman, or this girl at the time. And but that was my situation, is she had left me there to go with a guy, and again, this guy, different guy, but he was in his 20s. His baby mom was there. She was asleep upstairs. Like, she was asleep upstairs. I'm not gonna cry.
It's okay.
But yeah, I'm just like I didn't think I was in danger. Like, you just don't think you're in danger. Like, We're all hanging out, having a good time. Your baby mom's upstairs. I just am randomly in the basement with this guy. Like, first off, I was down there by myself. Mm-hmm. And then he comes downstairs and I'm asking, you know, where is so-and-so, where is so-and-so. So he's telling me. So again, I'm just chilling, thinking, okay, they'll be right back. Everything's okay. And he proceeds to rape me. And I froze in that moment because I'm thinking to myself, number one, this man was a drug dealer. They was talking and laughing earlier about had their guns out and stuff. So I'm already scared. Like, you are a drug dealer. Like, you got guns in the house. And then your baby mom's in the house. Like, so many things could go wrong right now. I was so terrified to scream because I'm like, what's going to happen to me? Yeah. Like, and who's going to witness it? Like, no one's here to help me if I do. And just like that, I had came across him another point when I was around her. It was a very brief altercation, but it was like nothing happened. It was like a joke. It was mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, you know, that the you're just talking. And I was just like, do he not realize? Like, I told you, no, even if I didn't scream, I told you no over and over. I physically tried to stop you, even though I wasn't kicking and hitting. I was trying to push you away, stop you. But you still did it. And then you laugh about it. Like, this is a game to you. And it makes me so sad in those situations. I mean, all situations. But I think to myself, how many other women could there be from just you alone? If you thought that this was funny to do this, and you think it's all a joke, how many other women did you do this to?
Yeah.
And it's scary. Because, again, I told her what had happened. She was just like, oh, no, you were probably just drunk. You probably passed out. You know, just making justifications. And, again, she had her own plethora of issues. And I'm not trying to say that justifies it. But looking back, I was 16 at the time. She was 17, 18 at the time. She was a little bit older. But still, we were young. And I just think she had so many issues that she just couldn't help me. She just couldn't help me in the place she was at. But, but for the longest, I was like, was I really raped? I don't know. Like, I didn't, like you said, I didn't talk about it until I was much, much, much older. And outside of, like, the podcast, before only a couple people knew. Like, three people knew what had happened to me. Because I really didn't know because of the, I didn't fight, I didn't scream. Right. So, was it really?
Yeah, and the audacity of the jokes.
Yeah.
Right. Like, how are you openly, do you really believe that you didn't rape me?
Right.
Like, I remember the story I was just talking about. I think the next day or a couple days later, me and my friend was on the phone with them. Like, we would be all the time, and it was on speaker. He was like, is that Nikki? Oh, tell her I love her. Tell her I love her. And I'm like, and they all laughing. And I remember not laughing at all. Even though I didn't fully understand, I thought I was just drunk and I slept with him, but after I sat and thought about it, I replayed the situation so many times in my head. I'm like, I did not want to have sex with him. Yeah. I never seen him in that light. I never thought about him like that. Mind you, and not trying to say too much and to put his name out there. He was in a very well-known, serious, committed relationship pretty much all throughout high school with someone. And everybody knew they was together. Yeah. So I never even thought, I never even looked at him that way. So I'm like, it's just the stuff that played in my head to try to confirm, like, it was rape. Like, you didn't want him. You've never been attracted to him. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, even if I was drunk and trying to just get some and on a one-night stand, it would not have been with him because I'd never seen him in that light.
Yeah.
So it's just like the jokes, and I almost feel like if I was to call him out and say, you raped me, he'd be like, you crazy.
Yeah.
Like, right, you know, right, what I mean? Right. Like, do you feel like that too?
First off, I've never seen either one of them. I don't even know what I would do, honestly, if I seen them. Mm-hmm. But if it ever happened to a point where somehow we came across each other and I said that, like, get away from me, like, you raped me. I honestly feel like either one of them would not own up to it.
For sure.
Because
they don't want to believe it in their own hands.
Yeah, and it just seemed so, like, natural to them. As if, like, they didn't have any guilt for what they did. That's scary. Because if you don't have guilt for something like that, especially if someone has made that accusation, like, where are your morals? Where are your values? Like,
yeah.
there's some serious like mental illness and yeah. things going on
yeah.
for you to just do something like that and think that, hey, this is okay. And no, you're the crazy one.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I haven't seen that guy mm-hmm. in person.
Yeah.
But the other guy I've seen, mm-hmm. and this one is not as much anymore, but he triggers me.
Yeah.
And he used to really trigger me because he is just known and seen as such a stand-up guy. Yeah. Like, I mean, just a family guy, just a all-around great guy. Mm-hmm. Big, huge group of friends, like married, kids, just an amazing guy. And it just infuriates me.
Yeah, because like, if you only knew.
And this one was a little bit different because it was one point in time where I kind of was interested in him. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit. And he expressed a little teeny bit of interest in me, but it wasn't anything major. I was kind of hopeful that maybe one day we would start talking to each other, but we never did. And then that day, he took me outside of a hotel room where all of our friends were mm-hmm. and started walking. I'm plastered. Yeah. Like, I remember being barely being able to see my way down the hallway. Mm-hmm. And he took me to another room. And so I feel like in my mind, I was thinking like, oh, this is finally our chance to start talking and getting up. I did not plan to have sex with him yeah. right then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was just the most strange encounter. And I felt like I was mute.
Yeah.
This mm-hmm. time I didn't say no. This time I didn't say stop. I just was just mute. I froze. I literally froze. And I just felt like I knew I didn't want that because I was like, I kind of think you're cute and I want to talk to you, but do I want to have sex with you? No. Yeah. And I feel like that situation, it was so weird. And again, I'm not going to go into details, but mm-hmm. it was so weird how it happened. I'm like, you can't deny that was rape. Right, like, you yeah. treated me like I was some type of doll or yeah. like a mannequin or something, where you moved me and propped me and positioned me until you did what you had to do. And I laid there like I was dead because I was plastered.
Yeah. And that is still... Mm-hmm. That is still considered whether someone wanted to be like, well, she didn't say no or she didn't.
Right.
If you are under the influence and heavily. You are intoxicated enough to where you cannot consent and say, hey, I want this, and that. Like, legally, that is rape.
Yeah.
And that's what people don't understand.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the reason why he took me out of that room is because he's seen my behavior. Mm-hmm. He's seen it. You know what I'm saying? You can't deny that I was lit. Like I said, I didn't even know I'm stumbling down the hallway. And I'm like 18 drunk. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not old enough to even be drinking in the first place.
Right, right.
And so I know you probably, what I would assume is that in that room, you observed that I was lit.
Yeah.
And you used that as an opportunity. You know what I mean? You weren't clueless to yeah. the fact. So, yeah, it's different ways that it happens. But it's just crazy how we always find a way to blame ourselves. Especially if you're drinking, it's really easy to blame yourself.
Oh, for sure, because that's one of the reasons why I didn't, like, outside of the girl I was with, and I told her, like, I didn't want to tell anyone else. Like, in any other possible situation, like, if it was one of those crazy situations where you're just dragged down to an alley and just randomly right. raped, like, I feel like I would be running to go tell my dad and everyone else that this happened.
Right.
But because I was underage and I was drinking and I thought to myself, not that at all, like, I know my parents would for sure advocate for me, mm-hmm. but I also was like, you were drinking. Like, what happens if it comes out that you're drinking and this yeah. and that? And just all those factors made me silent. And I think it's important to, when you hear stories like this, because everyone who shares stories about sexual assault is going to be different. But one of the things I would tell men and women is assess your circle. Now, I'm not saying that always means that you're safe, because you're not always safe. You know, both of us were in circles where we were comfortable with people and we were still taking advantage. Mm-hmm. But even when you're assessing your circle, I would say also be mindful of what you're doing. Like, I know when you're young, especially when you're young, but you just get places, you drink, you whatever else, you're under the influence. And it's easy to take advantage of someone like that.
Yeah.
I would definitely say be careful. Don't do that. I wouldn't. Like, if I was to go back, I wouldn't be in those situations drinking yes. and stuff.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
I wouldn't be in those situations where I was under the influence around people, especially when I think back, I'm like, why was I don't know, because of her, yeah, it was her friends, but like, why were y'all 20s hanging out with a 14 or 16 weird. Year old girl?
That's like, weird. I don't care what y'all say, that's weird.
I don't understand. Like, what fun is it to hang around with someone so young? So even those situations of like, think about like, are these people, and I know it's not always someone older, but like, why are these grown men or women hanging around yeah. drinking and offering me whatever?
Because that exposes their intention. Mm-hmm. Because I said this yeah. to my husband years ago, probably in his late 20s. I'm like, what would you do if you went to like a party? Like one of your homeboys invited you to a party, and when you got there, everybody was like 13 and 14, like all the girls. He was like, I'd be like, all right, I'm out.
Yeah.
And what is you doing here?
Right.
Because that is weird. If it should not be normal for a 20 plus 25, 26, 27-year-old man to be comfortable kicking it with 14 and 15-year-old kids. Not. I would never kick it at... Her son is 16 years yeah. old. I cannot imagine my grown self going to a party where him and his homies and his
yeah,
friends...
Yeah, no.
That sounds absolutely insane. Not.
And then to have the audacity to also offer alcohol on top of it, like...
So that is a big alarm. Mm-hmm. Like, don't feel... Please, young girls... Don't feel comfortable and safe around grown men that's willing. That is creepy. I'm telling you now, a lot of young girls, they feel flattered by it. I remember being 17 and 16 and going to lots of events and parties and stuff where the men was grown. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I remember thinking back on some of the men and how they interacted with me. And some of them were really standoffish. And I'm like, those were probably, now that I'm grown and processing, I'm like, those were the ones who were really uncomfortable
yeah.
with the fact that there was little girls there.
Yeah.
And then there was the ones who was like, oh, y'all ain't drinking? You want to hop on the pool table? And we trying to play like we fit in.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, let me drink and stuff like that. No, that don't be flattered by it. Be disgusted by it.
Yes, for sure. It should be a red flag. Because it's not normal. No matter what people try to say or how they try to justify, it's not normal. Also, you know, just speaking from experience when it comes to anything that makes you uncomfortable, mm-hmm. especially sexually, anything. Talk to someone about mm-hmm. it. Talk to someone about it. And if that person doesn't want to hear it, talk to someone else about
yes,
it.
Because
that's the one thing that stopped me. I was like, oh, one person doesn't believe me. Well, I'm not going to mm-hmm. talk about it no more because I'm not going to have everyone tell me they don't believe me.
Mm-hmm.
But I've learned my lesson. And I would tell you that if you tell someone, they're like, yeah, probably not. Or they try to make justifications or anything else, like, find someone else. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's a trusted teacher, a coach, a counselor, a family member, a friend. Someone will listen to you and someone will believe you. And they'll be able to help navigate you through that. And I know that it can be scary for many reasons to come out. You know, sometimes people may say you're a liar and you're crazy. And they may paint you as that. Because there are many sexually assaulted victims who... they don't have justice served, you mm-hmm. know, people don't believe them for whatever reason. And, you know, I get that there's some scary things that could go on if you're addressing this situation, but that should not take your power. Like
yeah.
you should still be empowered to speak up, and share your story because one, it helps put someone away.
Absolutely.
And two, it empowers other people who've gone through it. Like, it allows other people to know, like, oh, I can talk about this
Absolutely.
Too. And it's not a taboo thing anymore.
Yeah, and it I think about R. Kelly, I think about Diddy, you know what I mean? I think about women who had to come up against big powerhouses, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, people with a lot of power, a lot of money, a lot of influence that make a lot of things go away. But I think about how if someone didn't come forward about R. Kelly, mm-hmm. how many girls would have still been silenced right
yeah.
now? How many girls would still be victims right now? I mean, if that man was still free right now, he's been down for a minute.
Yeah.
But imagine how many victims he would have had if he was mm-hmm. still roaming free right now. But because somebody said, I'm not going to be afraid of R. Kelly anymore.
Yeah.
I don't care how well he's known. Mm-hmm. I don't care how long he's been in the game, how respected he is. I'm going to speak up because I deserve to tell my story. I deserve to express my trauma. I deserve to have healing. I deserve to have justice. And because that one person did that, so many other women came forward. The same thing with Bill Cosby.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You look at Cassie and how bold she must be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Especially to go up against someone who has so many connections.
Yeah. And it has had so many people hide so many things. Mm-hmm. And now you hear all this other stuff starting to trickle forward.
Because all you need is one person to tell you, to say their story, to make you feel like, oh, I can say what happened to me too. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't, or sometimes people get into the mindset of, oh, it's just me. Like, I'm by myself. And when you realize, like, oh, no, they did that to you, too?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important because, man, like, I have no idea where these men are. None whatsoever. That was a million years ago in my mind. But sometimes I think to myself, dang, if you would have said something, I don't know if they've recommitted. I don't know what they've done in their life. I don't know if they, whatever the case is, but if I would have reached out to an adult, like, I could have potentially protected someone else from going through the same thing. Yeah. And there was a point where once I actually accepted that I was raped, like, I would accept, like, oh, no, this person was wrong. There was a very slight sense of guilt after that of, like, dang, I hope no one else went through it because I was silent.
Man, and you know what? I don't think I ever thought about that, like, other people going through it, because I put so much of blame on myself. Yeah. Like, I was like, they raped me because I am drunk and slutty. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why. You know, I'm up here with this little bitty dress on. Like, you know, I asked for it. Like, it's not something they just go around doing. It's like, you're slutty, you got barely anything on, and you're drunk, so what's up? You know, that type of thing. And I never even thought about, what if they do this to other girls? I'm just like, no, this is a you thing.
Yeah. Well, that's also a super toxic mindset that people hold, is like, oh, well, you deserved that because you was dressed a certain way. And it's like, excuse me?
Yeah.
You're telling me that I deserve to be raped or assaulted because I was dressed provocatively in your eyes? Like, no one deserves that. Like,
you don't get a right to my body no matter what I have.
No matter what. Unless I say yes, okay, and I consent, there, it doesn't matter. I don't care if I walk down the street naked. Not that I would, but if I walk down the street naked, it doesn't give anyone the right to touch me in any way that I don't accept and tell them is okay.
Yeah.
And I think that there's just so many people who still stand by that of like, well, you were asking for it because how you were dressed. And it's like, no, now do I think that you should be careful, especially dressing like that around people you don't know? You got to be careful. You got to be careful in anything as a woman, because you can be assaulted in any situation.
You can be covered up from head to toe.
Because that happens. Mm-hmm. I was in full-out jeans and a t-shirt both times, and sneakers. Like, I was a kid. Like, I was not dressed up in any type of way, and it happened. So, like, I hate that. And, you know, they say, like, oh, well, men lust, and you're just... That's not my problem. If you have a lust issue, and even more so, it's more than a lust issue, but if you have a lust issue, like, that's a you issue. That's not a me issue. Like, that's not something that I should be... that I should have, like, a consequence for because I dressed in a way that made a man look at me sexual. And I'm like, I hate that because...
Ugh, I hate that, too.
I hate that for so many reasons. One, because a lot of women are probably blaming themselves for wearing that.
Yeah.
Or they're just not taken seriously. They're not taken seriously. And anyone, any single person... I don't even care if it was sexual harassment. Like, even if you weren't physically touched, but you're just being harassed in a sexual way, you shouldn't have to go through that because someone can't control themselves.
Somebody can't control themselves. It's like you see it in the charge a lot. Cover up because you don't want men lusting after you. Check the man for lusting after me. Because most of the time, most of the time, we're not coming up in the church with mini skirts and low cut shirts and cleavage hanging all out. Mm-hmm. It's a knee length skirt. Mm-hmm. Okay. If he can't control himself because my ankles are out, then y'all need to talk to him. Issues. Y'all need to be saying, my brother, why are you over here struggling because sister Nikki got her ankles out? You know what I'm saying? Don't come talk to me or bring me the napkin, whatever it is, to cover up my legs because he's weird. I'm not the weird one.
Right.
But to talk about, like you talked about with the harassment. Mm-hmm. Woo.
Harassment is crazy.
Oh my God.
It is ridiculously crazy.
These stories we just told are probably just the heaviest, deepest, mm-hmm. worst cases of what we've experienced. Yeah. But there has been so much, like,
harassment is normal.
It's normal. It's normal. I think about, like, one thing that, you know, I just came to grips with, you know, not too long ago was, like, just having a big butt. Like, it's just big. Okay. Everybody comment on it. Yeah. Literally, women comment on it all the time. Men stare and they make little comments. And for a long time, I would feel like some type of way, especially with women, because it made me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, you commenting on my body. And I had to really think about why. And I traced it all the way back to when I was like 11 and 12. Okay. And the comments. Yeah. Then, mm-hmm. you know, the women in my family, dang girl, they used to call me Dunkin' the Trunk. Mm-hmm. They used to call me Big Booty Judy, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, what you gonna do with all that booty? But I'm 11.
Yeah.
I'm 12.
Why are you sexualizing the kids' bodies?
Kids' bodies, yes. And men. And then I remember in high school being told by men, grown men, like similar to your situation, you built like a grown woman. You built like a grown woman, but I'm not.
Yeah.
And it's extremely uncomfortable. And this is just the norm.
Yeah, it's the norm.
It's just life, you know, for women.
Yeah, it's just something that I think, I don't want to, and I hate saying it's the norm because I don't want to say that I'm normalizing it. Like, okay, another comment. But it's so common to the point where it's just like,
you just expect it.
What do you do about it? Like, you can try to tell someone that's inappropriate, but if they don't care, they don't care. They're just going to keep on making their comments. And
they might cuss you out.
And they might cuss you out for sure. But what makes it so common is it's not even just in personal interactions. It's on social media. It's everywhere. Like, you can't get away from it.
Oh my God.
Like, and what I don't understand is, okay, in this situation, because men can be sexually harassed too, but like in the situation of us having men harass us, what do you get out of it? Like, what do you think you'll get out of it? Like, you making sexual advances at me, saying sexual things about me, like, what do you think I'm going to, like, melt? Like, oh, you're so, like, no, if anything, I'm disgusted.
It's
like,
not
if
anything, flattering.
It's not.
I'm not comfortable now, and I feel unsafe.
Exactly, and I don't want to be around you anymore saying that kind of stuff. Like, even on social media, like, if I post something, and guys just, like in my DM, like, drooling, like, just making, like, ridiculous amount, like what? Control yourself.
Control yourself.
Like, it's one thing to be like, oh, you look nice, you look beautiful, things like that. But don't be in there like, oh, smoking hot. Because, like, why? That's just doing too much.
You,
like,
look animalistic.
Exactly. Like, please control yourself. And I'm not trying to say that every person who does that is, like, a predator. But you have to understand. And I think that's one reason why, you know, talking about these things is important. Because it teaches people who do these things that's not right. Mm-hmm. Like, whether if you're a male or a female, like, let's treat people like normal people and not like they're just these sexual objects that you can just objectify.
Yeah. And I think that it starts at home. Like, we talk about, we spend so much time emphasizing on little girls and what they should do and what they shouldn't do and what they should wear and what they shouldn't wear and where they should go and when they shouldn't go. Are we teaching our boys? Are we teaching our boys? Mm-hmm. Don't be gross. Like, you know, if you see a girl, you like her, you think she's beautiful, you be respectful, you be polite, you be kind. Don't stare at women. Don't objectify women. One thing that my husband said that I love is, you know, we was having a conversation a while ago on our podcast, and, you know, the conversation was kind of going around about, like, you know, do you allow your man to look at other women's butts? Do you look at women with your man? Like, all type of stuff like that. And I was like, I never catch him, like, staring at a woman's butt. I'm like, I don't think I would care. Like, whatever. Who cares? Women are beautiful. But he told me later that, like, I don't do that because I started to feel horrible about it. Mm. He said, like, I would see a woman and look at her body like that. Yeah. And I would realize, like, dang, like, she's a person. Like, and you just staring at her butt cheeks, like, right. You're just objectifying her because she's a woman. Like, don't be. And he,
yeah.
You know, and I was like, I love that because yeah. I don't think that most people think that. And I think that a lot now when I see videos of people watching women walk by and just staring at her, and maybe some women don't mind that.
I'm sure some women probably like the attention, but mm-hmm. I don't think most do.
Yeah, because it's like, dang, I'm just trying to
live my life.
Corn off the shelf, you know, like leave me alone. So.
Can I just live in peace? Yeah. But yeah, I mean, even the Bible says, like, if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. Like, if you know you have this lust issue. You need to work on it. Mm-hmm. You need to work on it. And a lot of it is deeper rooted. I mean, unfortunately, there are victims who now become the perpetrator. Mm-hmm. And, you know, therapy is a great, mm-hmm. great, great, great way. Whether if you are having the issues of thinking about wanting to do something wrong, like sexually assault someone, or you've gone through it and you're the victim, I always, always advocate for therapy because it can help you in so many ways. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just an outlet and, you know, you have someone who is considered safe and unbiased and who can walk with you through this and you mm-hmm. don't have to worry mm-hmm. about, do they believe me? Will they judge me? They're here to help you.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great first, second, third step, wherever you're at in your comfortability, because it took me a long time before I went to counseling to even really open up about anything. But it's so therapeutic mm-hmm. when you can talk about these things. Mm-hmm. And not only, because I know sometimes, again, when we talk about this, we talk about women, obviously the statistics show that women are at higher risk of being assaulted. But even men, like, you know, I hear people say that they treat their daughters different than their sons. Their daughters have to be in by a certain time, but their son can be out all night long. And it's like, but your sons can be trafficked. Jesus.
Your sons can be trafficked too.
No, trafficked. I don't know why I couldn't say that. It was in my mind, but it wasn't coming out. But they, mm-hmm. you know, so many bad things can happen to them. Like my son's 16. I don't care if I don't, he's my only kid, but I don't care if I had a daughter or whatever. Like, you're all being treated the same. Like, you still,
oh my god,
bad things can still happen to you, whether if you were the bad one doing it or it happened to you.
Exactly.
Like, we have to start looking at protecting them as well. And not only from things happening to them, which is, you know, something we don't want, but also being in the influence of others who could get them in a position to potentially be a perpetrator of something, because sometimes these boys can hang out with the wrong person, mm-hmm. and, you know, even if it's not them being like, hey, go take that or whatnot, like, it could just be like the way they talk about women, mm-hmm. the way that their views are on women. And if you're hearing another man who you potentially look up to, you know, who could even potentially be a mentor to you, mm-hmm. Talking about women in this way, it can almost put you in the same mindset of like, oh yeah, like they're just here for one thing, mm-hmm. and that's dangerous as well. So it's like you said, it starts at home. Mm-hmm. Like, pour into your kids, talk to your kids, mm-hmm. And then be mindful of the changes, because there's always some sort of change mm-hmm. when someone goes through this. Like, for me, when I was going through what I went through, I developed a really, really bad attitude, like just a nasty attitude. I was slightly withdrawn, but not enough to make it like super obvious. But I just ended up like developing like a really smart mouth, just an attitude with people. And it was because I didn't know how to process everything. I was angry. I was upset. I was just, like, confused. And, you know, when you see your child or even a friend, a family member, when you see those changes, like, don't be afraid to ask. Like, hey, what's going on? Mm-hmm. And pick and prod and see, because you might have to ask 3, 4, 5, 10 times. Yeah. And then finally they let you know exactly what it is that's going on.
Yeah, that's true. It's definitely good to just pay attention. I think that one thing that changed in me was I started to smoke heavily. Mm-hmm. Like, I never was a heavy smoker at that age. I started smoking heavy, and that's just, like, what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I think I really kind of lost track of, you know, just who I was and what I wanted to do. And I just kind of, like, I feel like I just felt like I was just out here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just whatever. Whatever happens, happens to me. I just really didn't have any drive. I just kind of felt worthless and I felt lost.
Yeah.
I felt like my life didn't mean anything. I felt like I wasn't going to be anything. You know, I stopped trying.
Yeah.
I was 18, 19. I got my GED when I was 19 years old, but I didn't feel strongly about going to college or cosmetology school or whatever it was at the time. I just kind of felt like a lost cause, to be completely honest. And that will, it will really make you feel worthless, you know, especially when it's not even somebody who ever even tried to pursue you romantically. They just took that from you and that was all you was good for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It can impact you in that way. You know, I never really put the two together, but, you know, I think that's just where my life kind of headed after all of that. So I don't know. I feel like parents, sometimes they just don't pay attention. They have so much stuff going on in their own worlds.
Not to ever blame them. Like,
no, you're not to blame, but you have to pay attention. Yeah. I don't like when I see parents, their kids just go through so much stuff and they weren't there. And then when the kids is grown, they just like, I don't know how this happened. I'm like, well, you weren't present.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You have to pay attention. You have to be there. You have to know what's going on. You have to pay attention to the changes. One thing that I went through when I was probably like 17 or 18, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. All this stuff happened around then for me.
Yeah.
Like, them times was crazy.
Yeah.
No, I think I was younger, actually. But I went through my first, like, real heartbreak.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurt. It hurt. I remember waking up for school and, oh my God, I would not want to feel that pain again. Like, dragging myself out of bed, my eyes just bloodshot red from crying all night, feeling heavy, like the weight of myself, trying to just get dressed and force myself down the stairs. And I didn't talk to a soul about it.
Yeah.
Nobody in my house asked me, hey, how are you? Nobody asked. I remember times when I was hurt and I was in pain all through my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
I would go hide and cry.
Yeah.
Getting bullied. I remember times where I would go sit on the basement steps and close the door and have a whole lump in my throat and just cry, and nobody noticed.
Yeah.
Nobody asked me, like, are you okay? You know, so I cannot. You know, like, if my kids even look weird,
like,
I'm
anything,
like,
you're ready to
what
see.
Happened at school today?
Right. Exactly.
And now they tell me everything. Like, Jenna just came home today, like, Mommy, you know how cold it was outside? My teacher and them still had us go outside for recess. You need to call them and tell them.
Yeah,
I said, I will call them tomorrow because they're not supposed to have y'all outside after 30 degree weather, you know, stuff like that. So I love it. You know, I'm paying attention to everything. I want to know everything. I want them to be open. And that's just something we got to put ourselves aside. Like, it may be hard sometimes to, like, just always have to be in parent mode, but this is the life we chose.
That's it. You can't, like, get out of that. Once you're a parent,
then
you have to be there. And that's good when you talk to them like that and they could tell you everything, because now they feel comfortable enough that if anything bad was to happen, that hopefully they're like, well, Mom was able to be there, Dad was able to be there to talk to me through these things, and I could trust them, then they can also, you know, be here for this, you know. God forbid something like that happens.
Yes.
But, you know, to just develop that trust with kids is so, so, so important. I know we're going on an hour, but just before we close up, I wanted to ask, with those situations that we have talked about that you've experienced, do you feel like that has impacted any of your relationships after that with men? Because, like, I feel like those situations, which I didn't realize at the time, but, like, I don't like a man trying to hug me or kiss me or anything like that. Like, if we're out on a date, and I've always said, it's like, unless you are my boyfriend and we are in an actual committed full out relationship, I don't want to be intimate with you. Like, I don't, like, it actually makes me cringe to think about just being on a date with a random guy and kissing him.
Yeah,
and I feel like a lot of that comes from the fact that someone was able to take that from me without me asking, that now I want to have the power to say I choose when I want this. And I know it showed up for me in that way.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually. Mm-hmm. I think for me, it made me feel like, you know, I have something that men want. Over-sexualized me, used my body, started to use that for validation.
Okay.
Because you take these popular guys who typically wouldn't talk to someone like me or whatever the reason may be, but they want to talk to me on the low because they like my body. They may not, you know, want me to be their girlfriend, but I can get their attention.
Yeah.
And it definitely just made me seek validation for that reason. It made me feel like I can use sex, you know what I'm saying? I can use my body in order to get what I want. And I did. I felt like I can get the attention of whoever. Like, you may think that, oh, he would never pay me attention, but he will.
He will.
You know, and it was a very toxic and unhealthy thing to do for a young girl with very low self-esteem to be able to use her body in that way and to seek those things out. And then you're never gonna, the void in that hole is never gonna be filled because you're really looking for love. You're really looking for care.
For sure.
But now you feel like you can use sex to try to fill that void, but they're just getting what they're getting and then they're gone. So it just, it was a never ending cycle. And it took for me to learn that, like, no, you're worth a lot more.
Yeah,
like, you're worth so much more. You're smart, you're beautiful, you're kind. You know, you have a lot of other assets, you know, besides sex. You have so much more to offer than sex.
Sure.
And if somebody can't see that, then they're the jerk. They're the idiot. You know what I mean? So I think it impacted me in that way.
Yeah. All right, you guys. Ooh, well,
that was heavy.
Lots of information. We just really hope that this empowers you, that this helps you. Like we said earlier, you know, everything's going to be listed in the description. Make sure you subscribe, like, share. You know, make sure you follow us on social media because I definitely want to be able to post resources, you know, in regards to hotlines you can reach out to. And then just other resources for sexual assault victims and, you know, things that you can do or how you could be a part of fighting this thing. And, you know,
How can we be a part of the solution?
Yeah, for sure.
Men, how can you be a part of the solution?
Yeah.
Is that by sharing your stories more? Because we know that they exist, one in four, you know, but we don't hear them. Is it sharing your stories more? Is it talking to young men like you? Is it calling the behavior out when you see it?
Yeah.
You know, like when I brought up those parties where there were some men who were really standoffish, but you're still kind of a part of the problem because you hang out with guys who hang out with young girls and you don't say anything. You don't speak on it. You know what I mean? So just constantly thinking of ways that, you know, we can be a part of the solution. And thank y'all so much. This episode was very heavy, but it was very necessary. And I'm so glad that we got a chance to share our stories.
Yeah.
Even though it's difficult and it's uncomfortable. Hopefully it'll help somebody else. If y'all want to talk, we are open. Our DMs
always
are open. Our emails are
always
open. And thank y'all so much for listening.
All right, y'all. Bye.